to do here?
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, it's Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to the Homie Broadcast. Yeah.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
On track, kindly produce a sound. Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. So happy to be with you again. Trump's president, guys. It happened a couple days ago. And are we dead? Is anything wrong? Is anything different? Do you notice anything at all that's different? Actually, I don't know because I'm recording this a few days early. This is actually the night before he's sworn in. Apparently, he's taking the weekend off. So, you know, I mean, hey, he's traveling around a lot. Hey, he's got to take a few days. You know, who can blame him? I said that the other day to somebody. Someone was complaining about that. I said, don't they have the weekend off anyways? I mean, I know, like, if something goes down, you know, somebody's going to come in and be like, Mr. President, North Korea is, they're going to send nukes. And, you know, or something, I don't know, whatever those people do over there. Something's happening, though. You know, obviously you pop in and you say what's up, but I would imagine they probably have the weekend off, right? I mean, they take all this time to go golfing and go to the ranch, chop some firewood, and, you know, hang, just do some hanging. But I don't know, maybe not. Everyone seemed that like that was crazy, but I'm pretty sure they do. I don't think Congress is open on the weekends. They all go home on their private jets and visit the home district. By home district, of course, we mean their house, their expensive house that they sit in. Pretty sure I'm going to just not be friends with any of my friends anymore. I've had it. I've had it with everybody. I got in a fight with my friend last week, which left me stranded because I rode with him over not even really politics, but a police brutality point of view, which was, yeah, I know that happens. I'm not a big fan of cops myself. So he gave me a few examples. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And then he gave me one instance where a college kid was arrested for disorderly conduct, drunk and disorderly, and his girlfriend didn't like that he was arrested and started punching him for 10 minutes. And eventually the guy got sick of it and chokeslammed her on a car, and now she's disfigured, has some cuts on her face and got pretty messed up. Sure, that's a little rich. I agree. But he also can't hit cops, so especially for 10 minutes. And I know, he's trying to explain to me he should have arrested her. Yeah, I know. But you don't always do things by the book. I know the book's there, and you're supposed to do everything by the book, but sometimes you just don't, all right? And I don't think it's that crazy that the cop chokeslammed that girl. And, yeah, I know she disfigured now, but sometimes people need to really – these are the outcomes that could happen to you if you hit a cop. You might get chokeslammed through a car. So we basically fought over that, and then he just left. Stormed out because I told him to F off after trying to convince me and talking to me. And, you know, we're pretty much talking about this the whole night. This was hours of this. And I just was like, enough. We're not going to agree on this. Agree to disagree. Kept going. Told him to F off. And then he didn't like that and stormed out. and left me stranded. Now, luckily, this is downtown. I live pretty close. I just walked home. But it was cold, and I was sick. And I didn't really want to be walking home that night. But whatever, it's fine. I haven't talked to him since. He sent me a text message the next day and said, I'm glad we have police brutality laws, and said something goofy. And I just gave him the thumbs up, taking a little break from him for a little while. Should be able to have conversations without fighting. Your friendship should be apolitical. But unfortunately with this election, and since I've been vocal of Hillary Clinton this time, I get a lot of crap from my friends. And it's really a shame because they know me as a person. They know, most of these people have known me for many years and know who I am in my heart, that I am a good person, I think, for the most part. But like, I got called out on social media today out of a quote I was directly quoted, which out of a quote that I don't even know if I said or not. And what it was that my friend has this stop. He has a magnet that says stop the Republican war on women. And he directly quoted me and said that there is no Republican war on women, which I think came from, we were talking about abortion, I think. And my friends like to say that it's a woman's issue. But my point is that half of women out there, just about, are against abortion. So it's not really a woman issue. It's just a morality and ethical issue. I don't take a stance either way, but I'm pretty sure that turned into me supporting the Republican Party's war on women. So I don't know where this comes from. It really, of course, irritated me. And I sent him a text message, hey, could you not passively, aggressively call me out on social media? And, well, yeah, I guess I shouldn't have done that. I could take it down if you want. Yeah, thanks. I don't need my female friends and ex-girlfriends bombarding me with crappy comments. If they want to be disappointed in me, they can be disappointed in me in real life and come talk to me about it. I'll be more than happy to share how I feel. But so, yeah, that's what's going on. A little irritated today. Not really feeling like my normal silly self. But this week's show, we got a good show. It was pre-recorded a couple weeks ago. Danudes from Miami stopped by. They are a rock and roll band. Everybody's got this weird, like they don't want to call themselves just rock and roll or metal, or they all got these new phrases for themselves. So they stopped by, and we had a really good chat with them. So we're going to get that started here in just a minute. But this podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Check out slybar.com and facebook.com/slybar, and also Truvy Salon and Spa, truvysalonspa.com, of course. And they are located at, where is it? I pulled it up. There it is. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Here in St. Pete, make an appointment. 727-329-9751. Thank you to them for supporting the program. I appreciate it. Like the Facebook page, facebook.com/HMB Radio. Like the Radio St. Pete page, facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. Check out the archives on RadioSt.Pete.com. Check out the HMB Radio archives with other podcasts, mine included and others. HMBradio.com. Leave a message for the show. 813-693-2124. If I read that too fast, check out HMBradio.com and you can find that number. You can call, text, whatever you want, you can do. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher and all that. Just search HMB Radio Tampa Bay. You'll be able to find all that info. And take a second, rate, subscribe, and I would appreciate it. It only takes a minute, really helps us out. So without further ado, here are Miami's, the one and only. I had a lot of Miami folks stopping by. Miami's, Danudes. Oh, my God, the Danudes are here.
Ah!
What's up, guys and gals?
Good afternoon.
Good
Crystal
afternoon.
With her broken headphone over there.
Stylish.
I think it's time for me to invest in a new pair for that fourth one. It's just hanging off your ear. You don't have to use those if you don't want to. It feels more professional. I like to have them, but these are pretty much useless for the
most
part.
I like listening to the voice in my head.
Yeah. It feels more authentic. So, the other voices in your head. Here, talk in there.
Like that one
talk,
time.
Talk right in there. You got to lean close.
Gotcha.
There you go. Yeah, much better, much better. Okay. So we got Danudes here from Miami, Florida, correct?
Mm.
Yes. Introduce yourselves, where you're originally from.
Go ahead, Crystal.
I'm Crystal.
Hi, Crystal.
Hey, Crystal. She did a waving movement with her arm.
Hi, Crystal.
I'm the bassist, and I am like the mother of the band.
True. Mother hen?
Totally, absolutely. Manager and...
Professional scolder.
Spiritual support.
Yeah.
Someone has to whip Luigi's shoes.
My name is Chuck Luce, and I am the drummer and percussionist for Danudes.
My name is Luigi LaRocca, and I play the guitar and sing for the band.
Luigi, you're an old pal. You've been here before. Last time you came in last year with the Plastic Pinks, and now you started this new venture. What happened with the Pinks, man?
Just got tired of playing that kind of music and living that kind of life, and power to them. But wanted to do my own thing, play music that makes me happy. And it was fun. Learned a lot. Toured for 3 years with them. It was fun. They're on tour now, I think. I don't know. Don't care. But
are you guys still cool or no?
Yeah. I don't have a problem with them. Always, you know, Crystal and I started this band, and just really happy to find Chuck, and we want to play music and hear music that we would want to, you know, to experience.
Yeah, and for a while, me and Luigi were in a band called Sand Rats, and even when we would practice with that band, we would always talk about the things that we personally like, which is a lot more what Danudes is about.
Yeah.
So I remember you started Danudes when you were here. You were talking to me about it a little bit, and it was just you and Crystal at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So how did it kind of form into what it's become today?
Oh, long trek. Is that we went through, like, he's like our sixth drummer in the year and a half that we've been a band. We had a lead guitarist, and he, you know, Eddie Spaghetti. He no longer plays with us.
Looking forward to meeting Eddie Spaghetti.
Yeah, well, man, we got to get him up here one day.
What's Eddie Spaghetti up to?
He's the less famous.
Now he's actually, he left the band. What were you going to say?
He's the less famous Eddie Spaghetti. I just want to point that out. He's not the Eddie Spaghetti from the Super Suckers. It's a different Eddie Spaghetti.
He wants to start his own coffee shop, cafecito joint in Asheville.
Okay, I'm not surprised because I was looking up some old vids of you guys on YouTube, and he had this really big mustache, and I figured that guy probably likes coffee and is very passionate about coffee.
I think it was referred to as the molestache.
Yeah. I saw this weird interview with you guys. It was like you guys were on a balcony playing in Miami.
Balcony TV?
Is that what it was? Yeah, I guess so.
Balcony TV, yeah.
And the interviewer was pretty bizarre. He was he made things really awkward with everything.
Yeah.
A lot of awkward pauses. I know I'm not the best interviewer either, but I was like, yipes. I thought you guys were going to fight a couple times.
Yeah, no, he could be high, could be drunk. I'm not going to say.
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
He's a,
like,
really funny dude.
Yeah. Looking at Danudes at that point, I always thought it was funny because there was like Luigi and Crystal who have like a very distinctive look. And then the two other guys who have like kind of like
at that time it was Nico of Plastic Pinks was
first. And so like they don't have like as distinctive of a look.
Yeah, it was tough getting them to dress. Like, can you put a black shirt on, or can I put this jacket on you, or maybe a choker? No, I don't want a choker on. Okay,
look,
can I maybe just put this hat on you? Or
the Ramones wouldn't be the Ramones if they didn't dress like the Ramones.
It's true.
That's true, because like I said, you know, old Eddie Spaghetti over there had this unique look about him, and then Crystal and Gigi, you guys kind of have this dark leather jacket. You know, kind of goth feel, almost, not quite, maybe like a new wave goth look. I don't know what to call it, but then you know,
goth I think is always a weird term. I think it's like kind of like one of those terms that you use to describe like a really wide variety of things, so I think it's always like a weird term, but it is the kind of correct term, though, you know.
But it's part of the theme, right?
I mean,
more than just the music. You have to have a look behind it too.
I mean, that's rock music. Punk rock being part of rock music is somewhat theater, you know, and like part of theater is costumery, you know. I mean, again, the Ramones wouldn't be the Ramones if they didn't wear leather jackets and blue jeans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've always disliked bands that get on stage and look like crap.
Right. I see the appeal of it. It's very like, oh, this is just our normal lives and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. It's part of part of a show is a show, you know?
Don't put your sandals on and get on the
stage. Right.
Yeah, it's more than just the music. I mean, your music is probably the majority, right?
Of course.
But when you're on stage, you have to have this certain mystique about you.
You got
to
bring
it. A performance. You're moving around with your instruments, you know.
Even if you're not moving, we want to see people looking, I don't know, somewhat interesting or intriguing, or make me imagine. Let me use my mind when I'm looking at you. I don't want to look at you and be like, oh, okay. You like sleep in your dad's basement still? That's cool. I remember when I had my first beer or whatever.
Well, no, and I think rock music, especially the kind of rock music we like, is like, you know, it's a combination of not only the musical aspects, but also like the theatrical and show aspects of it too.
Yeah,
I mean, the bands I love, like
The Damned,
Sisters of Mercy, Bauhaus, The Cramps, their image is totally tied into their music, and I think it's hard to separate the two. You know, if the Cramps were wearing bell bottoms and sandals, they wouldn't be the Cramps, you know.
So is this your look, though? This is who you are. This isn't like your stage stuff, but you'll probably wear the same stuff.
Well,
tonight,
we wear less clothes when we're at home. We don't really go outside unless we have to play music, but I wear, you know, sometimes I like doing eyeliner on and just painting on the floor of the house, playing with the cat. I don't know.
Well, just eyeliner, that's it. Nothing else.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. I like that.
Well, no, I think like for bands that have an image, I think to a certain extent it's an extension of who they are, you know? I mean, like you might dress up a little bit more when you're on stage, but at the end of the day, it's a reflection of what you're into and like what you like and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so. I was taking a shower the other day and I was thinking about that. I was like, it is who you are, but it's also who you are when you can be yourself when you're playing music. You know what
totally,
I mean? Like we're not, you know, you can't just, you know, dress this way, I think, completely all the time, right? Like let's say you got to go to a funeral. You would dress like this for a funeral. Let's say,
right.
I don't know. You know, let's say you're having a family, you know, dinner, maybe you tone it down. I don't know, you know, like it's
it's hard. You can't really go to a business meeting wearing like a dog collar. And like leather pants. Yeah.
Or whatever, yeah. And when you're on stage, it's more like who you are. Like that's why we play music, right? I hope you're playing music because you feel more like yourself when you're playing music. Music because you want to be like someone else.
And I think it tends to be kind of apparent when you see bands that are like put on versus like it's something that they truly are into.
Yeah, you can tell. Yeah, mm-hmm. You can tell.
Mm-hmm. What's that band? They did that Pumped Up Kick song a couple years ago.
Foster the Children?
Foster the People.
The Foster the
That's
People.
What it is. Yeah. I didn't know, but they were like put together by a record company.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A
studio
yeah,
band.
Pieced
a
together.
Studio band.
Yeah. Pieced together to like make this super group thing. And I thought they were just kind of like an indie band that got picked up.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's the impression. But no, they're like this super group put together. I wonder if that's kind of the future of music, like what companies are trying to do now. Juggernauts
and that still happens, and there's still, I mean, wasn't Alice in Chains kind of the same way? Like they were actually like a guy was like, grunge is going to be hot now, so I'm going to put together this studio band, which isn't to say that it's not bad, but I don't think it's as organic as other things. But
even the Traveling Thornberries, right? They're all superstars in their own right. Uh-huh. And then they all came together, and I hate that band.
Wait, the Traveling Wilburys?
Wilburys, that's it, yeah.
Wait, isn't the Thornberries that cartoon on Nickelodeon?
Yeah, I think you're right, actually, yeah. I'm not a big music guy, I don't know if you can tell.
A trip into the past mind of Will.
Oh my god, wait, you didn't like the Traveling Wilburys? What was their hit? I'm trying to remember that.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't care.
Will, sometime you and me are going to sit down with that Traveling Wilburys album and a couple beers and just talk about it.
Alright. You could maybe school me up, because, sometimes I think my problem is too, I go into it like, no, I don't like that. And then it's really hard to change my mind.
Oh, dude, totally. No, I mean, it's funny. I was that band, the Stone Roses, who are kind of like a Britpop band from like the 90s. For years, I was like, these guys suck. And then
album.
And then I listened to them. I'm like, oh, they're amazing.
That first album.
I want to be a door.
Dude, no, that album. Yeah, they're a great band. They've got one fantastic album. Yeah. They've got one okay album. But for years, I just kind of like was like, oh, screw these guys. Then I actually listened to them. Like, oh, this is actually good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe it takes a couple of years. Don't listen to the Traveling Wilburys for like 5 years. Then
okay.
Try and listen.
I don't like that name. I've never heard them. Don't
the
like
Traveling
the name.
It's who is it?
It's Bob Dylan. It's
Roy
George
Orbison.
Harrison.
Yeah, George Harrison. Roy Orbison.
They're all legends.
I get it.
But
Tom Petty. Tom Petty's
Tom
in it.
Petty. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, I don't know, when it gets pieced together like that, it almost feels like it's forced. It's like, he already had a good run. Let's not make this, you know, atomic bomb and blow everything up now. You know what I'm saying?
The Avengers.
So what does Danude sound like if nobody has heard you? What would you describe it as?
The term we always use is fuzz noir. I guess the what else we would describe it as is dark rock and roll.
Okay.
I mean, probably drawing from, like, the well of the bands that we really like, which is, like, I just think goth is a weird term, but I guess it is kind of the term to describe it to a certain degree. I prefer dark rock and roll. I don't know. One part early 80s dark wave, one part industrial, one part Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath is what stuck out. It sounded like a warm Black Sabbath to me.
Nice.
Almost a little, not so like metally, you know, but it definitely had that influence. That's
riffage, that riffage. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, none of our songs are alike. All of our songs are very different to each other.
Yeah, early stuff, it was weird because I was coming out of Plastic Pinks. So what I did is I took their little recipe and I was like, I can do this. And then I was like, yeah. So I went under the guise of garage music. We called it like garage noir or whatever. And then, you know, the musicians, Crystal and I always wanted to play like what we like, the Cramps, Bauhaus, Susie and the Banshees, Christian Death. We love those bands. Chuck loves them too. And that's, I guess that's why we work. But we really like that. But in order to get to the point that we are now, we had to really pull a bunch of shenanigans. And, you know, we got the drummer of Plastic Pinks, which they hated at the time. And then we got Eddie, who was really like kind of like jam bandish. He like played in a band called Eagle Chief, which was Arbolas Libres. They toured a bunch.
Yeah.
They're a great band. I like Latin rock. I hate that kind of music, but he's an incredible musician. I grew up with him. He's an amazing guitar player, super talented. And putting them in the band, you know, we couldn't force them to play the music we wanted to, but we put it under the guise of garage rock, and then little by little, we'd put little dark things in there. And then, you know, the musicians started to filter out, and then we ended up at the point where it was just Crystal and I and Chuck. You know, and this is the best it's ever been, I think. And,
well, yeah, because I think, like, our tastes are very similar.
Yeah, finally we found one other person who listens to what Crystal and I listen to and the stuff that we love. He equally loves all of those things, and he loves cats and we love cats, which is also a plus. And he respects cats and we respect cats.
He also likes the color black.
He likes leather. He likes all the bands we like. We like all the bands he likes. It's
Yeah, and I also think it's interesting, like, listening to, like, early Danude stuff, because to me it kind of, like, there's a kind of evolution there, you know? Like, they're getting, like, Luigi and Crystal are getting closer and closer to where they truly are with these other players, but I really feel like, you know, when we got to this point, it's probably, like, a lot more of what they envisioned to begin with.
Yeah, you know? we never have to convince him of anything. We're like, oh, we've got this. He's like, fuck yeah. Like, so, excuse my language. He's like, heck yeah, let's do that.
Attaboy. Yeah. Yeah. So how long is it's been pretty new, right? It's been a year when you guys started this, Crystal and Gigi, and then how it's kind of come into its final form now, think?
We've had like five different drummers, and then we got rid of we just wanted to strip it down. We're like, you know what, let's just go down to what it is we want to do, and just Crystal and I, and get rid of all this stuff, which it was cool. It was like super heavy and shreddy and all of this cool stuff. We've got an EP that's gonna come out that we haven't even released yet, but it's everything we recorded with our last members. And it's like, feels even weird putting it out because it just sounds like a satire garage, you know? It just sounds funny.
It was like our version of getting garage out of our system.
Yeah.
Like it's really a play on garage.
Yeah, like, you know how Frank Zappa used to like kind of like make fun of the times by making that music better than any other bands that were like happening at that time? That's like kind of what I want to do. I was like, let's do garage, but like, let's over the top. Like, we put violins in there. Like, it's so stupid.
There's
like,
even a tenor recorder.
We put like a, it's hilarious.
Which I mean, I think, like, you know, one of our favorite bands is Susie, and I totally see that evolution in Susie. Like, very basic punk rock, but then they open themselves up to more interesting instrumentation.
Yeah, it's also an ode to like classical music because we very much enjoy classical music.
Totally.
We got to do a bunch of it's fun. It was just like a fun process, and the music came out better than we like thought it was going to come out, you know? Like, all the layers, all the things we did, the vocals, all this stuff was hilarious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Danude's is on the Homemade broadcast this week. So, Crystal, you're classically trained as a classical musician, right?
Well,
who told you that?
Trying to do my research. Go ahead. Oh, I'll tell you.
I grew up with two classical musicians. My cousins, they're my favorite cousins, and I used to sit next to them on the piano as they were teaching me, you know, basic Disney songs on the piano because I was a child. I was inspired by that to go into, you know, playing the violin when I was young. I played the cello.
She won a bunch of awards. Just get down to it.
I did the tenor recorder, which was my favorite instrument.
Your cousin also.
The piano as well for
there's
a little
like
bit.
Three top bassoon players in the world. It's not the most popular instrument, but there's like three top bassoon players.
Yeah,
and they call one of
the
three.
Requested.
Yeah, they're like they call one of the three whenever like big things happen, and they're all friends. And her cousin's one of them.
Yeah, my other cousin plays the flute. He has a golden flute.
So she comes from a,
family.
Comes from a family of artists and musicians, classical musicians.
My grandma was also a piano teacher, so.
Yeah, so so what I was getting to with this is that it always makes me nervous whenever I see a person in a band start to get with their significant other to create a band, because that's usually the end of the band.
Yeah.
When that happens.
Well, that was the beginning.
All right, I've been in like in a ton of bands. Like, I'm really decided from this point forward, I only want to be in bands with couples.
Really?
All right. And like, yeah. And like, I told people about this and they're like, why? Yeah. And I'm like, it sounds terrible. I'm like, I don't know. Like, to me, it like consolidates a lot of things about a band. You know, like if you've got like four people in the band, it's like four opinions and votes. Yeah. If two of those people are like a couple, it's almost like they're going to come to a singular kind of decision, you know, between two of them.
If they can function that way.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work being like, that.
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, it has to be the right relationship, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point, because then when you're trying to get people to practice and stuff, they're already...
Exactly.
Just,
they're going
to
come in
the
same... Right, they're going to come in the same car. So.
Right. Yeah, you're already good to go.
So it's super easy. And then we end up, you know, yelling at each other so much as is all the time. He's just... All pressure's off of him. He just does his own thing.
Oh, totally. No, I feel like the magical third wheel in this. Like,
totally.
I just get to sit back and watch. It's great.
But it's different, because I was... impressed to hear of your training before, because you're not playing a tambourine in the background.
Yeah.
Like, you're actually pulling your weight here. So I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, it was quite hard picking up the bass. I mean, I picked it up when we started the band, and I've come this far, but I had no rock and roll training. And it's very hard coming from, you know, reading music and, I don't know, playing the piano to just creating songs on a bass guitar.
Well, piano's kind of like the instrument to learn, right?
Mother
if you know
of
that,
all
you can kind of get your way around all the other ones. Maybe not like saxophone or something, but, you know, all the stringed instruments, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it teaches you position of notes. Uh-huh. It teaches you the relationships of notes. Yeah, I had like piano school for like 5 years. The only thing I can remember now is hot cross buns. But I know that like it did teach me like about like rhythm and feel and like playing soft and playing loud and that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, right on. So, how long have you guys been together in the current incarnation?
3 months.
Three months?
Just about.
Have you guys, like, recorded anything that's just you three?
We've made maybe four new songs or something like that. What we did is we filtered through a bunch of stuff, got rid of it, kept all the stuff that was slightly interesting, and then wrote all new stuff with Chuck. So, and we're doing it so fast. It's so cool.
Yeah. And also, I think up until I was in the band, like, Crystal never really sang, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So that's, like, a whole other, like, thing. Now, like, Crystal's, like, actually doing vocals, which adds, like, I think, like, a whole other really, really cool dimension to it.
Yeah, we wrote a new song where just Crystal sings, and now I don't have to.
So how long does it take to, when you start writing a song, until you get to the point that you're ready to record it? Or is it just very...
It depends. It depends how long we feel like we want to play until we feel like it's at its final form, which it's interesting because, in my opinion, music's never in its final form. With the reason why I have so much, I've got an EP and an LP recorded. The EP's done mixing already with just the past lineup, and we're already working on new music, and we've just put out a 7-inch, and we've done a split cassette before. I have a bunch of stuff I haven't even put out yet because my technique was that I teach the bands... super fast. The second you got it, I'm going to take you and I'm going to record you. So if you leave tomorrow, that's totally fine with me. I've got the recordings. I could just keep going. So that was my mentality then. I tracked absolutely everything the band was doing. Now, you know, we got a bunch of stuff out. Now we're actually just like, you know, we're making the songs, you know, as we are now as this band. And we're kind of just getting it tight and then we're going to record it. We're kind of like taking our time more into craft. Before it was me writing all the music. So what I would do is just make sure I teach you, and I bring you in to record it, and that's what I was. That was the technique I was using before. Now I'm taking more time for us to, more that, you know, it's more, it's like a group, it's like a joint thing that's happening now. You know, we all want to be happy with what we're playing, finalize it when we're all, like, let's do it. We're in no rush. You know, we've got an EP that hasn't even come out yet. We've got an LP that's mixing, and we're working on our own album right now as we speak, you know.
Yeah, typically I think it's like Luigi usually comes with like the idea for the song, but I don't know. The thing I've noticed like since I've been playing with them is there's definitely a lot of room for, oh, maybe we should do this here. Maybe we should do that there.
Yeah, yeah.
Add a break here, add a change here, yeah. You know? And so, yeah, I don't know. It definitely feels like a very organic experience just from like us kind of like adding that input.
Yeah.
Like definitely Luigi's coming with the basis of the song, but I feel like since I've been playing with them anyway that there's definitely like – It's a band feel.
Yeah, nothing's final. Like everything, like when I'm now that Chuck's in the band, everything I'm writing just sounds more like what we want to hear, and it's cool because it sounds like what it sounds like when we're hanging out. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like when we're hanging out, we're listening to like 80s stuff and like Susie and stuff like that, or Sisters of Mercy.
Sex Dwarf by Soft Cell.
By Soft Cell. Yeah, we're hanging out and we're like having a drink or whatever it is that we're doing and just talking about stuff, and we're always have music going on, and then I go home and then I go to sleep, wake up with this like thing in my head, and I like record it, and then I come back to practice and I'll just put a bunch of riffs together, and then I'll come back to practice and say, oh, look how this sounds. It almost sounds like this, and or it sounds like what it sounds like when we're hanging out or whatever. And then that's how a song, it's kind of weird to explain, but it just sounds like, like when I'm writing the music, it just sounds like us hanging out.
No, I would imagine that's probably the best form.
Yeah,
when it comes naturally totally. And just flows as opposed to getting in there and forcing it.
And everything we do, it's cool. Like I show them the riff and they're just as thrilled as I am about like finding that. I'm like, oh man, I found that. You know, it's not like, oh, this is me and I'm doing this and you do that. No, it's like, this is cool. Look how this sounds. And oh yeah, that's awesome. You know, drums would be like this to it. And I'm like, well, and we're just like blown away because I would have never imagined the drums like that. Or the bass like that, you know, like I'm bringing just the piece I found and then they're adding their pieces to it, and it just sounds awesome and amazing, and our minds are so open to everything everyone else wants to throw in there.
Yeah, I think there's definitely like a, I guess I would call it aptitude, but there is definitely like a sense. I mean, I've never been in a band where we all agree of, oh, like somebody put something on like when we're driving someplace, like everybody else is like totally into it. Yeah. I've never been in a band like that before. It's always been like somebody puts on something, everybody else is like, no.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, everything like we listen to, I don't know. I think we've also like done a lot as far as like exposing each other to new bands. Like,
yeah.
You know, like actually introducing each other to like music that we know we like, so that other people in the band would probably really appreciate too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you get around when you had these other members, when you had four people in the band? Now you only have three when you're playing a live gig. How do you play those songs without these other pieces there?
We've dropped some, and then I've just picked up the guitar. Like, I just pick up where Eddie isn't. I compensate for that by playing more and faster. You know, like, I dumped a bunch of stuff. I'm like, okay, all this stuff that was all dressed up, all that, like funny garage stuff, let's just toss it out. Let's keep all the heavy stuff. And then, like, you know, Crystal, you, like, hold it down, and I'm going to just, like, you know, compensate for Eddie not being here anymore. And then, you know, we rewrote a bunch of music. And I just, it's cool because when you're in a new project or when you're in a particular project, you know, being a guitarist, you can get, like, so lost in all this, like, effects and all this crap. So my idea has always been, like, I get a little pedal board, and I'm like, okay, what do I want to fit on this? And what colors do I want to paint with, right?
Yeah,
like, as if
yeah.
it's a painting. Totally. So when I'm playing with them now in the band how it is now, I took out all the pedals that I was using with the other band, and I put in all these other pedals that I'm using now, and I said, I want to use these colors, and then I make it work as much as possible for what it is that we're doing now, and just creating new music that just sounds, you know, and now, if anything, it's more to the core and more rhythmic because we're focusing more on what it is we like and the music we like. All that dark rock, goth rock, 80s dark wave was very rhythmic. It's bass and drum.
Absolutely.
And Crystal and Chuck have a tremendous chemistry. They play so good together. I had no idea that it would be like that. And she learns all the time, and we're always in a constant learning process. And he's a tremendous drummer. I don't know if you've ever heard him play, but he plays amazing. We can't wait to track with him. And he's just, we couldn't have wanted anything else. He plays amazing. Crystal, from the moment we started the band, Crystal was like, I want him to play. And he was in a bunch of other bands, you know? And I was like, I can't. He can. He's in, you know, he's in Party Flag, and he's in Sand Rats at the time, right?
Yes. I'm old and I've been in a million bands.
Yeah, so the moment I saw Party Flag break up, I was like, damn, that sucks. But also on the other side, I was like, hey, Chuck.
Opportunity here. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, do you want to play with us? And he was like, hell yeah. I was like.
No, yeah, yeah. I mean, whoa. Even when me and Luigi were in Sandrats, we would talk about it. Like, one of my favorite eras of music is like the era from like maybe like 1979 to 1982, where goth isn't goth yet and industrial's not industrial yet, and everything's in like in this like kind of like soup of like really interesting kind of darkish flavored rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I mean, I remember like, you know, Luigi and I always talking about how appealing that music and that sensibility was.
Yeah,
right on. So Danudes from Miami, Florida are on the Homemade broadcast this week. Where did the name Danudes come from? It's kind of a cool, it flows really well.
I'm
you
happy
know?
You like it. I came up with it myself. No,
it's not from a name generator, is it? Heard so many bands.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what we did.
Blank.
We said we wanted to use two D's.
Two E's and one U.
Yeah, two D's, two E's, one U, an S. It could have been an S, could have been an X. Could have been. Now, there's a Japanese band called, I'm going to butcher it because I don't speak French. Their name is French, and it's Les Ralizas de Nudes. That's the name of the band. Ralize, I guess, is how you pronounce it, is not a real word. The only real word in that is le, which is the, and denudes, which means naked, or hadaka.
To be bare.
Hadaka? To be bare, okay. Right? To expose yourself?
Yes, and I actually, denudes has a historical reference, too. So, right. Like, during the French Revolution, like, the revolutionaries were either called sans-culottes, which means without pants, because they had like the shorter breeches that the poor people wore, or they were called denudes, which means the naked, or without clothes, because they couldn't afford like the nicer clothes of like the French aristocracy.
Right.
Okay.
So that we're big fans of that 70s Japanese experimental band. If you look them up, they've got a very interesting history, but they're innovative. In noise rock. They were like one of the first, and they're like in hiding. They're like completely, one of them, there's a story that the bassist hijacked a plane with samurai swords as a political movement. They tried to fly the planes to Japan. This was in the 70s.
To Cuba.
They went from Japan. They would try to fly the planes to Cuba, and the pilot convinced them that there's not enough gas. So they said, okay, next best place, let's go to North Korea. So they flew the plane into South Korea, and they try to make one of the air traffic conductors, as they landed, show them a photo of the leader, and they didn't show them a photo. So they immediately found out that they were in South Korea. So they were like really mad, and they decided to trade the South Korean people their there's like a person who represents like a minister of like he represents I don't know, like he's like an airport representative or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they traded him for like X amount of hostages and some gas, and then they flew the plane into North Korea, where they were welcomed as heroes, yet they were never allowed to leave. So he's still there to this very day. This happened in the 70s.
That's how North Korea does.
Yeah. Why would you want to go to –
it was for a political – right. There, okay. It was for a political – it was for a political –
well, I'm sure he's in heaven now.
Right. The singer of
I'm sure North Korea is awesome.
The singer of the band was never about it. And
this was the bass player, right?
This was the bass player of Les Ralizas de Nudes. And the singer of the band actually disliked that idea. He thought it was stupid and he thought it was idiotic. And that happening caused them to go more and more in hiding. And the band is so obscure as is. They never recorded anything in a studio. They tried it once. They hated it. So everything on vinyl, everything put out by them was all put out bootleg. So that's people who's gone to their shows, recorded them, and put it on vinyl. And their vinyls can go up to like 60, 70, 100 bucks for their vinyls. They're really like obscure sound, Japanese sound band. And that the aesthetic of that band was very much like the Cramps. It was like exactly like this, like leather jackets, black glasses, black straight long hair, black pants, black everything. And they were obsessed with like French stuff. And you know, and coincidentally, Crystal loves everything French. She comes from a place in Spain, Zaragoza, which is very close to France. I don't know. She probably has French in her because she loves everything French. You know, she loves French culture. She loves it. And it just, I don't know how or why that word came out of my mouth. It was always in my mind, Danudes. Just that one word. I liked it a lot. And it just came out of my mind. We didn't even think about it. It was just, we wanted to make a band. And we first started playing black metal when we were first forming, and our next door neighbor was complaining all the time. So we toned it down and we made them, you know, we started going towards other, you know, the kind of music we really want to hear. And we just came up with that name. Just came out like that. And it was always a name that stuck with me from that one particular band that we like.
I want to get on this. It's a good segue because you're going to Japan. But right. How did you find this band? The one that went to North Korea? How did you even hear about them?
I don't know.
Just a lot of digging.
Yeah, we listen to all, like, just this. I guess this is the same way I found out about At the Drive-In, and then I fell in love with them when I was 16 years old. You know, I don't know. Someone had it on, and I said, what is that? And they're like, this is At the Drive-In. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then it changed my life forever. You know, I don't know, like, just how that happens. I don't know.
I want to hear this band. Are they on, like,
YouTube? Ravi Zaz Dinuz? Yeah, they're awesome. The last thing they put out, last time he was seen, the singer, was 1994.
Oh, wow.
They just actually, in California, there was a record label I saw recently put out another album of theirs.
Which label?
It's always Phoenix Records.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's Phoenix Records puts out a lot of bootlegs. I don't know if Phoenix put this one out, but Phoenix puts out a Blind Baby Has Its Mother's Eyes. Blind Baby Has Its Mother. And then another one is Heavier Than a Death in the Family. That's another one. They play like the Fuji Fests, which were the Japanese equivalent of Woodstock. They're like huge, like festivals on like the mountain they have there.
Right? Mount Fuji.
Yeah, Fuji. The one they have there in Japan. They have these fests that were like huge, and they played that. Very obscure. Very, very weird. What it sounds like is it sounds very much like 50s and 60s kind of grooves with weird noise artful dissonance by the guitar player. Mm-hmm. It's just insane. And you think that he's just messing around. You know, you hear and you're like, oh, this is just him making noise over like a bassist and a drummer that just won't give up for 10 minutes, you know? It's just grooving for like 10 minutes straight, keeping this groove going. And then you really listen to it and you're like, whoa, he really knows what he's doing. Like, I don't know how he's doing this weird feedback, but he's somehow like in control of it because you hear the aesthetic when you really, I mean, someone probably at first glance would be like, this is cacophony.
Yeah,
this is just noise. This is crap.
Right.
But you really listen to it, and you're like, whoa, this is really brilliant and genius. And Japan has, and I don't know if you know, but they have a really amazing, you know, the musicians there are artists. You know, they have, I mean, there's just, what is it? What's that documentary? Like, Noise is, Rock is Dead, Noise is Dead? Or Who Cares About Music Anyways, or something like that.
Is it about the Japanese noise scene?
Or? Yeah, yeah. And it's about their lives and how they view music and how they view life and how they make their music and how they, and it's just, it's insane.
That band, The Boredoms, are probably like one of the more popular.
Yeah, the way they approach music is not how someone normally, I think, would approach music. You know, they're always interested in sounds and going out to like junkyards and recording and being inspired by the oddest things, which is really great. And I find that very interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting.
Yeah, I think like the more modern band that captures that sound and feels like would probably be like Melt Banana.
Mm. Melt Banana is really good.
I have no idea what that is, but I'll check it out.
Melt Banana, yeah, they're more like electronic. It's almost like like thrash punk drum and bass or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they utilize that. Japanese bands have very interesting ways of like utilizing genres that you wouldn't imagine would go together. You know what I mean?
Mash them together, yeah. So tell me about how this Japan tour came about.
Oh, thanks to
Well, it's gonna be Luigi's 30th birthday, so
thanks for bringing it up.
Old man, in advance for the to be old man. I got him a trip to Japan, and then from there, we have friends that have played over there, and this one friend in particular was like, "Hey, I'm gonna mention Danudes to them to see if you guys would like to play, and when you can play, if you can play." And from there, we booked 3 shows.
Yeah. Wow. So how do you get to take all your gear over there?
We're going to buy guitars when we get there.
Yeah, we came to that agreement.
Take them home.
And then just, are you going to take them home? I was going to say, you could probably just sell them again real quick.
No, I want a Japanese guitar.
Yeah. So, I mean, probably you can track down some, amps and stuff like that.
The venues there are, unlike American venues, apparently they backline everything.
Fully backline. They go to school for it. You have to fill out a 2-page paper before you play.
You have options for equipment.
Yeah, like what lighting do you want? What kind of set? What noises are happening when? What smoke? Do you want smoke machines? Do you want this? At what point do you want lights to change? Who do you want the lights on? Do you not want no lights? What color lights do you want? Like, they go to school for it. They take it very serious. And
that culture is very no nonsense.
Very disciplined. It's that Bushido mentality.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome, man. So I guess we could wrap it up now, but thank you all very much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
You got social media you can give out? People can find
you? Sure.
Yes. We have a website, www.denudesofficial.com. You can find us on Facebook, Denudes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just Denudes, right?
Yes, that's correct. Okay.
Just how
on Facebook, we have D3NUD3S.
Okay.
Oh, you just Danudes on Facebook.
Yeah, just look up Danudes.
Also, forgot to mention, we've got a 7-inch out. Iron Forge Press did the screen printing for it, which is Chuck's a serographer. He's amazing. He does posters for every band you probably ever liked, or maybe you have some on your wall. But Helm of Hades Productions, which is us self-releasing it, Fuzz Baby Records recorded it and did this half release with us. And we've got this all-white 7-inch. We're going to be playing tonight at the Benz.
Yeah, this won't be out in time, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. We played already at the Benz, and you missed it. There, and you had a great time. You're a scumbag if you missed it.
Yeah, we played with Inoculus.
Yeah, we played with Inoculus. This is so cool. We're talking like we played with Inoculus. And
it's
it was
time traveling. Dude.
Yeah, and we're also playing with Teddy Ruxpin. Ruxpin. I don't know how you say it, but it's a teddy bear, right? It's a teddy bear toy.
Teddy Ruxpin.
Teddy Ruxpin. Okay. I was going to ask this. Do they actually? So Teddy Ruxpin is like this animated bear toy that you would put a cassette in.
Mm, yep.
And when the cassette would play, like the mouth and face would move. Do they actually use that as a musical
instrument?
They may
just.
Oh my god!
They should if they don't.
That was awesome. Amazing when they did that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can check us out on anything, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Bandcamp. We'll have, by the time this comes out, we'll probably have a lot more music up on iTunes, but we're on Apple Play, iTunes, Amazon, Danudes. We have Black Satellites recording on there. We have Black Satellite on there. And that's about it. We've got a 7-inch out. It'll probably be sold out by the time you hear this.
Absolutely.
Just letting you know.
Danudes, thank you all.
Thank you so much for having us. Thanks, we really appreciate it, Will.
There you go. There's the Nudes, Miami Rockers, my best friends now, I think, officially. So we'll close out the show. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Homemade Broadcast this week. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned for Frank Rivera's Jazz Show, Indie Circuit coming up after that. If you're listening on podcast, I'll talk to you next week. Will Koontz, Homemade Broadcast. Here's the Nudes with their new song, Waste of Fun. Talk to you next week.